today on Compassion Radio.
These girls walk almost 2 hours one way to go to school if they have the money to go to school.
If they're able to go.
Yeah, so.
So what are some of the things that are that you do practically for them? Teaching them what kind of life skills or what kind of things are you working with them for?
We started working on their identity in Christ and helping them to understand that even though they're in this situation, the Lord still loves them. He's not forgotten about them. And to try to find the good in every day because there's so much hopelessness and despair.
Hi, friends, and welcome to today's Faith Adventure. In this program, Sandy explores kingdom work in Kenya with Toya Mack, who's doing extraordinary breakthrough work with at-risk girls. Here's part one of that conversation.
Toya, I want our listeners to hear your story. It is very fascinating. It's like a movie to me. All the places that God has taken you and the ways that He's gotten you to where He wants you to be right now. And even in all of that, how He's moving you into some new places that are kind of surprising to you, I think, as well.
I would agree.
Yeah. So tell our listeners where you came from and then your journey into Africa.
I'm a military brat. I grew up in San Diego and then moved to the East Coast as an adult. And I worked as a travel agent part-time, and I went to the Dominican Republic on a vacation. And as I was driving from our hotel to the airport, I saw a lot of devastation around me. And I was crying and asking the Lord, what do I do to help? And then I had my devotions out on the beach, and every morning the Lord just kind of whispered missions, and I didn't quite understand what He meant by that. In Black churches back in the day, missions wasn't taught in the same way that other churches taught it. And so we know inner city missions and helping less fortunate, but not traveling around the world. So anyhow, I went back home and did some research and found some mission trips to go on. And that started a whole new journey.
It's opened a new world for you.
Exactly.
So I'm hearing from you earlier when we were having a conversation, and you may not even know you said this, but you were very resistant to moving to Africa. You were like, yeah, I'll go and I'll do this trip. And
no, I did not even want to visit Africa.
Okay.
So I met a lady who, her daughter was a missionary in Cameroon, and she needed help with writing grants, and so I was helping. And she said, I think you're supposed to go to Cameroon with me. And I said, you're kind of crazy, lady. No, not on my radar.
Please don't send me to Africa.
Yes, have no desire to go to Africa whatsoever. And she asked me 3 times. I said no. She asked a 4th time, did you pray about this? And I said no.
Oh, there is that.
Yes, there's that. So she said, will you pray? And I said, sure, because God's not going to tell me to go to Africa. And I was a part of our intercessory prayer group at church. And the next day, I was praying by myself after our corporate prayer, and the lady who's in charge of prayer came and tapped me on the shoulder and said, I keep praying for you, and I keep seeing you in Africa surrounded by children. And I was like, oh, no. And then the following Saturday, I think that was a Thursday, the following Saturday, someone else in our prayer group said the same thing to me.
Wow.
So I went out to the car, and I called her from my cell phone and said, I guess I'm going to Africa. And that was in November, just before Thanksgiving, and we left in January.
Wow.
So
how many years ago was that?
That was 10 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
11 years ago. 10 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yes.
So you served in Cameroon for a number of years, and you had a pretty thriving ministry there. Tell us a little bit about that and how God very intentionally moved you away from that ministry.
Yes, in Cameroon until 2018. I fostered medically fragile children in my home, kids that were abandoned because of their medical needs or thrown away because of their medical needs, or parents simply couldn't care for them because they didn't know how. I taught in the prison Bible and life skills. Mm-hmm. We went to the hospital and prayed with people on dialysis and in different places a couple days a week. And then in 2015, we started a school for special needs kids and learning disabled kids. And so all of that was thriving, and we were getting ready to buy land and expand, and civil war broke out in Cameroon. Yeah. And I stayed for a while until it got really, really bad, and then had to flee, basically. And so right now there's not an opportunity to go back.
Right, so you literally had, like, a suitcase, two suitcases, I think you told me before, that were just, you sent them ahead on the bus, and then you tried to finish up some things or close down some things or whatever, and then you can, so that you could get out. And what were you told by the people that you met with after you just got out of the city? Because this is like, wow, this is the movie stuff we're talking about here.
Well, I reached a mission base, and they asked me how long I planned to stay, and I didn't know. And she said, well, you can't go back home anytime soon because your city has been closed by the military. Nobody can go in or out. And so the military had surrounded our city because so much fighting and killing had taken place.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so haven't been back home.
So when I met you in 2017,
yes,
we were in Kenya, and it was tentative then as to whether or not you'd be able to go back to Cameroon.
Well, it wasn't as bad. That was the beginning of all of this. I met you, yeah, the night before we left each other is when the actual killing started. And then it kind of tapered off, and it didn't start back up again so badly until the end of 2017. And then now it's just, it's really impossible. The U.S. has asked no Americans to be in the northwest and southwest regions of Cameroon.
Pretty dangerous place.
Yeah, very dangerous.
So then you spent a little bit of time in the States.
Yes.
I remember you were there getting some probably tender loving care, some training, some support raising, probably other things going on. And then God brought you back to Africa. And where did he bring you back to?
Well, I did a class to learn missionary medicine on the field, tropical medicine. And because of that, the doctor who wrote the manual asked for interns, and so now I'm in Ethiopia interning with her, and it's been very awesome. And the Lord also opened another door so that I can volunteer with a children's home, and I still get to foster medically fragile kids. Yeah, so it's been quite a blessing that I didn't expect.
Yeah. So you have been working with these children and these medically needy children. What does a day look like for you?
Well, it kind of looks like going into the baby room in the morning and helping feed the kids and play with the kids and change clothes. Mm-hmm. And then the sickest ones that cannot be in the general population are cared for in another area. Mm-hmm. And when I go back, I'll be moving into a new house, and then the sickest of the sick will actually live with me in my home on the campus of the children.
So this is a 24/7 type of situation that you'll be living in with these children.
It is a 24/7 type of situation, but I will have a couple days a week that I go out and do the bush clinic. And the nannies at the children's home will help. They'll help all the time, but they'll will especially help those days.
Right, okay. So you've also done a lot of work in refugee camps, and I know that you spent some time here in Uganda doing that very thing.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
So my first time working in a refugee camp was with a school that was built for refugee children from South Sudan. And also working with young girls who have come from South Sudan who need some mentoring and some spiritual discipleship and just practical life skills and encouragement, you know, because they don't have mothers around them. So it's been amazing.
Yeah.
It's been heartbreaking and gut-wrenching to work with them, but it's been really, really awesome also.
More with today's guest, Toya Mack, right after this.
When everything is right, God says, go. When God says, go, His presence goes with you.
My father was a radio broadcaster. He actually started the ministry that we have. He, in essence, passed it down to me. We've been able to carry it forward, although we have now changed the focus of the program from essentially devotional now to much more in terms of the global mission of the church, what God is doing around the world, and bringing back those stories.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, the current president of Compassion Radio. It's hard to believe, but this year we celebrate our 78th anniversary. We're still the only radio ministry on the air this long that is 100% listener-supported. That speaks to the quality of the program, of course, but more than that, it is an amazing testimony to the faith and vision of our Compassion Radio support team, and that means you. We've got a lot to accomplish in 2021, and with your help, we'll do it. Of course, if we don't act, all the best of intentions come to very little. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478. If you reach us after hours, please leave a callback number. We'll return your call right away. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're available 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word compassion to 53445 from your smartphone to make your gift wherever you are right now. Thank you for everything you do for the kingdom and as you partner with Compassion Radio.
You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven. You are so good to me. Broken heart, you are my Father in heaven. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again.
And now, back to Compassion Radio.
I did a class to learn missionary medicine on the field, tropical medicine. And because of that, the doctor who wrote the manual asked for interns. And so now I'm in Ethiopia interning with her. And it's been very awesome. And the Lord also opened another door so that I can volunteer with a children's home, and I still get to foster medically fragile kids. Yeah. So it's been quite a blessing that I didn't expect.
Yeah. So you have been working with these children and these medically needy children. What does a day look like for you?
Well, it kind of looks like going into the baby room in the morning and helping feed the kids and play with the kids and change clothes. Mm-hmm. And then the sickest ones that cannot be in the general population are cared for in another area. Mm-hmm. And when I go back, I'll be moving into a new house, and then the sickest of the sick will actually live with me in my home on the campus of the children.
So this is a 24/7 type of situation that you'll be living in with these children.
It is a 24/7 type of situation, but I will have a couple days a week that I go out and do the bush clinic, and the nannies at the children's home will help. They'll help all the time, but they'll will especially help those days.
Right. Okay. So you've also done a lot of work in refugee camps, and I know that you spent some time here in Uganda doing that very thing.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
So my first time working in a refugee camp was with a school that was built for refugee children from South Sudan, and also working with young girls who have come from South Sudan who need some mentoring and some spiritual discipleship and just practical life skills and encouragement, you know, because they don't have mothers around them. So it's been amazing.
Yeah.
It's been heartbreaking and gut-wrenching to work with them, but it's been really, really awesome also.
Right. So are they able at some point to leave the refugee camp, or are they permanently there.
They're free to come and go as they have the finances mm-hmm. to do that.
Okay.
Some do and some don't. So there's a market in the refugee camp, but of course the prices are higher because mm-hmm. someone has to go out
sure.
and get these things.
Sure.
Jobs have been created within the refugee camp. So they're pretty free as much as their finances allows them to
okay.
leave, but most of the people that I'm working with don't have the finances to go anywhere. These girls walk almost 2 hours one way to go to school mm-hmm. if they have the money to go
if
to school.
If they're able to go.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
So what are some of the things that are that you do practically for them? Teaching them what kind of life skills or what kind of things are you working with them for?
We started working on their identity in Christ and helping them to understand that even though they're in this situation, the Lord still loves them. He's mm-hmm, not forgotten mm-hmm. about them. And to try to find the good in every day
wow.
because there's so much hopelessness yeah. and despair. And then we put four girls in school just this past few weeks,
mm-hmm.
and we have the funds to put five more in school, but I've got to get the funds over from America. And then the other thing that the girls asked for practical help with was feminine hygiene needs,
mm-hmm.
and so we were able to get a donation of reusable pads to share with some of the girls in the group. And the other thing that I'm working on is getting a group to go up and teach them how to make fireless cookers. And this
okay.
is something that's kind of like an American crock pot is the best
okay.
analogy. It is not, but that's the best thing that I can give you. So you boil a pot of, let's say, meat and rice or beans and rice. You just heat it until it's boiling. You put it inside of the fireless cooker. You put the cover on. And then when you come home, it's done cooking. You just add your spices and different
okay.
things so that they're not spending 4 hours trying to cook. Right. So the school starts at 7. They leave at 5 in the morning. School ends at 4. They get home at 6 at night. So if we can help them learn how to make them, they can make them for themselves as well as make them to sell in other places
mm-hmm.
so that they can have some income.
And what do they make them out of?
It's like, I don't know what the basket material is called. It's a grass and a kind of bamboo
okay.
that they weave together. And then it is insulated with various things that you can find around,
okay.
chicken feathers,
just anything.
Ripped up, different things
yeah.
that they insulated
okay.
with. And the insulation is inside of the basket. You put a pot inside, and then the top cover of the basket is also heavily insulated, and
okay.
you put that on and just leave it and go.
That is exactly like an American pot. Without the electricity.
Exactly.
Involved. Well, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're helping them learn how to do this, or are you?
There's an organization called Farming God's Way that I learned about
mm-hmm.
in Kenya that makes these, and I have found a sister organization that does it in Uganda.
Okay.
So we're trying to get the logistics worked out for them to be able to go up and teach 20 of our girls
mm-hmm.
and then give them the supplies for all 20 of them to have a fireless cooker, and then we can hopefully get them some seed money to get started
yeah.
for future business stuff.
So when you say girls,
yeah.
tell me, what is that? How old is that?
The youngest one that I worked with this time was 17, and the oldest was 22.
Yeah, girls.
They're girls, but the 22-year-old has three biological children. Her
mm-hmm.
youngest one was a month old, and her oldest one was around 6-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a 17-year-old that had like a 7-month-old baby. And then there are a couple of the girls who have inherited children,
right.
either from their own families or from other people who couldn't get out or tried to get out and passed away on the way.
Mm-hmm.
So one girl has 7 kids she's taking care of. She's
wow.
20 years old.
Wow.
You know? So
I know a few years ago, Bram spent some time in Bitty Bitty, and he was talking about that very thing, how that these women and these young women had formed family groups in some
yes.
ways, and there's no husbands, so they're taking care of each other's children and kind of just protecting each other in that way, becoming a family, so that there is some kind of foundation for them at some point. But it seems that it's just it's prevalent in this whole situation with the refugee crisis.
I would agree. There's so many different refugees in this particular camp. This is in Beppe. There's over 70,000 people, and they're kind of scattered far. So it seems to be clusters of people mm-hmm. who get together and create their own families. In this case, these are all girls that are all attending the same church, led by a very young pastor. And then they've created their own little kind of family groups within mm-hmm. the church based mm-hmm. on where they live.
So these moms that have tiny babies, how do you help teach them that they can live without having more babies? How do you communicate that? I mean, I know there's a lot of cultural things that I'm probably stepping all over when I do this, when I ask this question. But is that a goal for you? Is that something that you want to help them understand that can be avoided? Mm-hmm.
It is something that we discussed, and we'll probably have a lot of ongoing discussions. I also have to be careful because I have an American mindset,
right?
And cultural differences are very, very huge. And in some instances, the viewpoint of the church may also differ from my personal viewpoint.
Yeah.
So my first discussion with them was always abstinence. And that's the best way to avoid babies and try to not feel like you're trapped into selling your body as the mm-hmm, only way. Mm-hmm. Because in most cases, these girls are not having babies because they're going to have sex for pleasure.
Right.
They are having babies because they have been told this is the only way to care for your family. In some cases, they were given by their families to provide income. And so
sold into slavery. Sold into marriage.
I would say sold into slavery. Sold into marriage in some cases. Definitely used as prostitutes by their family.
Okay.
I wouldn't say sold into slavery. They still are with their families. Their families love them. Mm-hmm. But they all kind of feel like this is the only way and there's no way out.
Right.
So we discuss abstinence as your first thing. If abstinence is not their desire or is not they don't have the ability to say no, because some of them don't have a choice when their superiors are telling them that they must, then we do talk about condoms and IUDs, and I'm not a big proponent of hormone things in their arms, but we do discuss options that are available through community mm-hmm. projects for them to not have kids. But abstinence is always our first thing. And then we have gone a step further, and I have done some training for business things, for them to start businesses.
So that helps them to be able to provide for their needs without having to sell themselves.
Yes.
Well, Toya, it seems like with all the things that you have going on with these young women that there's a lot of warfare that you're doing on behalf of them. But I want to encourage you because I believe that God is using you to really impact their lives and impact the kingdom. And you are teaching them about love in action.
This is Compassion Radio, and we'll hear more from Bram's wife, Sandy, and her guest, Toya Mack, next time. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800 866-248-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word Compassion to 53445. That's the word Compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.